You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLeman.
Hi, Lee. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I'm really chuffed. It's been this chat has been a long time coming.
It's been a while, yeah.
So, Hayley, you have Six Underground Media. Why don't you start by telling us, what does Six Underground Media do?
Okay, so we're an agency that works purely in the digital space. So that would be obviously social media being one of our primary platforms. And I guess second to that, digital marketing, which is kind of, you know, any kind of web-based, website-driven content that we can create or assist our clients with, but also PR services. And I think it's a lot of hairdressers don't really know what PR is for hairdressing. And it's basically, in a nutshell, getting your brand out there into magazines and online, in the online space.
Awesome.
So just kind of that branding, yeah.
And you work amongst other things, but primarily you work in the hair and beauty space.
Yeah, I would say probably like close to 95% of what we do is in the hair and beauty space. Have the odd client that's outside of that, but it still will tie to beauty or cosmetics in some fashion.
And so you actually are a qualified hairdresser.
I am, yes. Mm-hmm. I would like to say I have retired and I haven't worked on the floor. I haven't worked on the floor for the last 7 years, but I was a hairdresser on the floor for 11 years before that.
Well, so why don't...
I've done the time on the floor. I know the pain. I know the glory as well. I know why this industry is the way that it is and how we operate and think as hairdressers.
Absolutely. So look, why don't you take us through your journey to how does a hairdresser become a CEO of a media company? Tell us your journey.
Okay. So it started, I was working in a salon in Surry Hills in Sydney, and we used to get a lot of beauty editors come in, and I would do their hair and we'd kind of talk about what hair articles they were going to write about in whatever publication they were working for. And this was like early kind of noughties, like 2005, 2006. And print was still very strong in that stage and digital was only just starting to come in. And they would say, okay, look, I don't really know how to explain that. Do you mind writing like the process of this hair story? So like probably once a week I was writing these hair stories from the point of view of a hairdresser going to the target market of a consumer, and I loved it. And I remember one of the biggest compliments I ever got was one of the writers from Dolly was like, you write so well, you should be a beauty writer. And I was like, yeah, I always really liked English at school. Like it was like the thing that I was really good at. So I kind of was getting a little bit jaded by being on the floor, and I decided I was going to go do a uni degree, and I was still going to work in the salon, be on the floor and go to uni part-time. And I did my uni course online by correspondence. So, I mean, I juggled those two, and it came to the time where the GFC happened and salons were getting quiet. And I was like, now is the right time for me to kind of jump ship and just start working in the space and seeing if I like it. So I started with one client, which was who I still have to this day, Suki Hairdressing in Newcastle, and Sandy Chong, who everyone knows as the CEO of the AHC.
And you were working in her salon, weren't you?
No, I was actually, I did my apprenticeship there. Uh-huh. And Newcastle's about 2 hours out of Sydney. So when I relocated to Sydney, I worked in a different salon.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And so that was how it started. She's like, I know we need to do social media. I don't know how to do it. So I'm just going to give it to you and you can run it. And within a few months, I was like, wow, this is incredibly successful, very powerful, because there was organic reach back in those days where I could grow audience really fast and I could reach people and engagement was really, really high. And it was actually a lot easier then. It was a lot simpler, but a lot easier. So from there, word of mouth just kind of happened and I started taking on more and more salons and it built. And 7 years later, I think we're probably looking after about 40 salons when it comes to social media content, maybe another 10 that we just do PR and graphic design for. And then obviously my biggest client is Revlon and American Crew, and I do their social and PR as well. So I work in-house there one day a week.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Your journey.
I know, crazy, huh?
I kind of love it when things start to happen organically and you can just build on that momentum. That's when things are meant to be, right?
It was totally meant to be. And the timing of everything, I love that saying, trust the timing of your life. And that was so true. Like everything, even the bad things that have happened in business over the last 7 years, they happened for a reason and they always turned out to be a good thing eventually.
Yeah. All right, so you have some tips for us around social media and in particular Instagram, which is huge for salons who seem to be making the most of the Instagram platform. But you've got some tips for us around best performance to get the most out of Instagram. So I'm really chuffed that you can share that with us today. So,
all right.
Cool.
Just
what's your first
jump tip? Straight in.
Jump right in.
Okay, so the first thing that's going to lead to amazing Instagram performance is optimization. Don't be scared by the word. Don't think of it as, you know, like an IT phrase that's all about code and back end. It's not. It's quite simply ways in which we can get Instagram to be more responsive for us. And that's just really simple stuff. Like when you're writing the content for your Instagram post, it should be something along the lines of, are you asking a question? Because you're going to optimize it because you're asking for a response. Like, are you going to post it at the time of day when most people tend to be online? So that would be, you know, when you first wake up. If you're in a metropolitan area, like at lunchtime, when most of the people that are taking their lunch breaks, and then after work and then before bed. Like utilizing key times. You know, making sure the images that you use are current and they're really sharp, like the best quality resolution that you can possibly get. I'm a bit of a resolution Nazi, and I'll, like, if something's not quite perfect, I'll just be like, yeah, no, we're not going to use that, regardless of how good the image is aesthetically.
Yeah.
So those are really important key factors. You know, using, you know, at mentioning and hashtags. I mean, it seems so simple, but the best tip you ever gave me, Larissa, and I stick to it to this day, is like optimization is about the amount of hashtags that you use. It's, you know, using hashtags isn't just for the sake of, you know, throwing in the pound sign. It's a matter of, you know, making the content relevant. So when it's searched for, people can find it. And 11 hashtags is like the perfect amount. So those are my optimization tips. I can go into those in a lot more detail, and I'll kind of shout out those resources at the end of the podcast.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. That sounds good. Okay. Tell us, what is your tip number two?
Okay. Tip number two is all about, for me, white space. And I know that sounds quite futuristic and unusual, but white space is really important because when you're scrolling through an Instagram feed, it can become really busy really quick, and there can be a lot of different images going on that don't necessarily tell a story. And I'm going to come back to that for my third tip. So if you introduce, you know, a tile or an image within your Instagram feed that is probably 2/3 white and it only has a small image, so it could be like a headshot or it could be a motivational quote or something to that effect. If you pop that in probably every 8th post or so, what you get is this beautiful breathing space in your feed. So as you scroll through it, it takes that busyness out and it allows each individual image to pop and tell its own story while still being connected to everything else. If you don't have that little bit of white space, you kind of scroll through and you miss so much because there's no room to breathe.
I would agree.
I think you notice it when you see a really great feed and you don't necessarily pinpoint what it is that makes this feed so great, but it's generally like just that bit of breathing space that they'll add to it.
So would it be fair to say that, you know, thinking about your posts, and I know you're actually going to talk about this in tip three, but compared with for Instagram, compared with Facebook, actually thinking about your page feed as one picture, or the look and feel of that, which we don't really do that with Facebook.
Well, we don't need to with Facebook because, like, when we open it, we operate Facebook as what comes up in our news feed. We don't necessarily operate it as what it looks like on the landing page.
No.
Whereas Instagram's totally different. Like, your landing page is your brand. It's everything that your brand encapsulates and represents visually. So that's why everything that you post needs to somehow be connected to what's been posted previously and what's going to be posted in the future.
Yes, agree. And people come to an Instagram homepage more than they come to visit your Facebook homepage.
100%.
You don't really go to a business's Facebook page and kind of scope them from there.
No. And I think they've visually redesigned Facebook for that purpose. And you know, they've kind of separated Instagram and Facebook into two different entities for that reason.
Mm.
You know, I would say Facebook is definitely more content absorption in, you know, the links that are shared and the call to actions, and Instagram is very visual. And just little things like I need to buy a new lounge at the moment, and, you know, Instagram's so great at predicting my past searches. It knows I'm looking for a lounge. All of their lounge ads are popping up. So then I'm going on to the main page of these different furniture shops of their Instagram. And I'm like, okay, I can tell the ones that really know what they're doing and it's planned and it's methodical, and the ones that are just kind of willy-nilly throwing up, you know, pictures here and there.
Okay, so what you're saying is that people are judging your business by the look of your page.
I think they are.
And if it's sporadic and not well put together, they assume that the business is the same as that.
I assume that for sure.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
I agree.
And I think it's the same with what you were just saying about, like, people are going to judge your business on what your Instagram feed looks like. Especially in hair, people are going to judge the quality of what you do in the salon based on those images, because more often than not, there are going to be some images in there that come from inside the salon. It's the best example I can give to explain that is, you know, Instagram is like, you know, people don't use the yellow pages anymore to find out, like, what a salon's like. If I was scoping out a salon and had arrived in a new destination, I'd look at their Instagram page and I'd be like, do the girls on this page have nice hair in real life? Mm. If they do, yes, I want to go there. Regardless of how good the branding is and their website and, you know, the glossy magazine ads that, you know, a really huge brand might have, if the content actually coming out of that particular salon isn't good, I'm still not going to go there.
Yeah, yeah. So the quality of those images, as you quite rightly said, you know, need to be sharp.
Really sharp. I think they need to, and I say this to my team, it was a great example. Like, if you wouldn't come across it in a Vogue or a Harper's, don't publish it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's a good sanity check. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or whatever magazine that you associate with for your brand.
Exactly.
On your brand.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Okay. Great. Good stuff.
Okay. So my third tip is kind of really coming on from that. It's making sure that the content that you publish has a theme or a story. And like my brand definitely has a theme and a story. If you have a look at its Instagram feed, and go and have a look at it. It's at 6 Underground Media, or one word. And you can see ours is very strongly pink. And I can't move away from it. Like, I'm just too addicted to it at the moment. So there are little tones of pink within almost every image. And if it's not within every image, it will still connect to everything, I guess, within that scope. So I just try and create this theme that when you're scrolling through Instagram, if you see this pink picture pop up, you'd be like, that's probably 6 Underground Media. They always have pink pictures. And it just allows people to identify with our brand. Now, I'm not saying that everyone needs to have, like, one colour that they stick to. That's just what's working for us at the moment. I just think you need to have a story when it comes to visualisation and colours. And you might have three or four core brand colours that you use in all of your marketing and all of your logos. And accents of those colours need to come through, not all the time, but at least regularly, so that that branding is optimized. One of my clients, Yolanda won't mind me saying, which is at So Haircutters, have a look at them on Instagram. Like, we kind of change the theme of the color every couple of weeks. So it might go from like a really soft yellow into like more of a pastel green, and then that kind of merges into a blue story, and it kind of transcends. So as you scroll down, it's like you see this rainbow of color, but all individual images. That's really cool. That's a very unique point of difference.
Okay, so there's a story, but also recognizable as a brand. There is a yes. look that that starts to become recognizable.
Definitely. And I mean, that could be come down to, you know, your selfie station and, you know, incorporating that, having really consistent photos there, that can be part of it.
The background.
Mia from Fox and the Hair does that beautifully. Like, I'll know which photos are hers.
Yeah.
As I scroll through my feed, I don't actually need to look at the name. I'll just know, because she's done such a great job of branding it.
Yes, for sure. Yep. All right, that's good. So tell me, I see that, you know, people are doing lots of, not so much the before and after, but the after shot. What yes. are your feelings on, you know, balance of content of doing after shots and
okay.
the other stuff?
This is
seems to be a lot of backs. There seems to be a lot of backs of heads around.
And I want to dive into this.
Can we?
I've just done a bit of an ebook on it. And my recommendation is, like, although there's more surface area at the back of the head and it's great to be able to see all of that, if you tilt your client's head to the side and drop their chin down for a profile shot, you're going to get a much better aesthetic. You know, you don't even need to really have the client's face in the shot necessarily. But I think, you know, backs of heads aren't doing anyone any justice anymore. I mean, there's going to be the exceptions to that rule for sure, like depending on, you know, particular detail in the cut and color. But I think going back to that philosophy that I had before, like if I'm not likely to come across that in a glossy magazine, I'm not necessarily going to put it on Instagram. And I don't think glossy magazines do, you know, shots of the backs of models' heads. So if we work to the profile and drop the chin down, it's the best angle to shoot hair from, especially if you've got like a selfie light or a ring light that actually shines light on all of the right places.
All right. I'm so pleased that we've had this conversation, because, you know, the wall of backs of heads, you know, while well-intended, is not the aesthetic that, you know, that needs to happen. There needs to be mixing it up a little bit. I love your saying of, would it be in a magazine? And that's, I mean, that shot that you just explained is, it's a model shot. That's
yeah,
the shot
yeah.
that, you know, Vogue poses their models in. I'm a big fan also, though, of happy people looking at the camera, you know, happy shots of your happy clients experiencing your business. It's a good sort of social trust sign of, sometimes if you can get the client to agree, look at the camera and be a happy client, you know, show that they're happy with their hair. Yep.
I mean, there's definitely like notes of authenticity in there for sure.
For sure.
By using those type of clients. And I guess, look, if you really felt like, oh, but I'm missing something by not posting the back of the head, I mean, why not do a really cute boomerang where you kind of yeah. spin your client around and show the front and the back in the one shot? I mean, there's yes. just really creative ways to do it. Doesn't yes. just have to be, you know, a square shot of the back of the head.
Variety is the spice of life.
Hmm. For sure.
Fantastic. Okay, there are some fantastic tips in there. I've got a question that you probably cover this in your ebook, and I'm going to get the link to your amazing ebook, and you can talk about that shortly. We'll put it okay. in the notes. But is there a magic number of how often people should be posting? What's your
yes,
opinion?
Yes, there is.
Professionally.
I mean, I do think that there is. I actually think, and you could ask me this question 6 months ago, the answer would be different. Ask me in 6 months' time, the answer is going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
So it all depends on the patterns and the behaviours of the market at that time.
For sure.
I feel at the moment with Instagram, actually the more you post, the better.
Yeah.
And I would have said 6 months ago, you crazy, do not dare post more than 2 or 3 times a day. That's overkill. But we have an algorithm now that's stronger than ever before. So a lot of content's not being seen. So unless you've got a very active, engaged audience, I think you do need to actually post more frequently to be able to get that growth and that expansion on your page.
Yeah. Okay.
So look, as much as you can. I mean, would 5 times a day be too much? Not at the moment. That may change. But I mean, obviously, if we're going to talk about doing 5 posts a day, they're going to be very strategically different posts. You're probably going to, you know, want to feature a staff member and try and build their profile. Maybe you want to talk about a great new product that landed in the salon. Then you want to show an incredible makeover that you did. Then you want to go, oh my God, did you see this on the Vogue runway or at Fashion Week? And then the fourth might be something really funny and cute or inspirational. So like, you know, make sure you're mixing it up. You're not going to be posting the same type of thing 5 times in a day.
No.
And it's all about that strategic planning and also going back to choosing the right images if you've got a bit of a theme happening to make sure that they all connect and tell a story.
Yeah, for sure. I want to give a wee shout out, and I'm not sure what you use for your agency, Hayley, but my favourite app of the day in terms of strategic planning, Instagram, is Plan. It's at plannat.com. It's on your phone, and why I love it is that you can visually plan.
You can
put all your pictures in advance, and you can drag and drop and slide them around so your feed looks strategically placed, and so there is some forethought. So even though you might take a selfie today, it might not fit in your current theme, and you can move it up and go, well, I'm going to post it next week because next week I've got the yellow theme and her hair is golden or whatever it is.
I think for salons that is absolute gold, and it allows you to do everything I've just explained in the simplest way possible.
Yeah, yeah. And then it reminds you, you can set timers to remind you to pop up and say post now if you want to get that complicated. But I think it takes the pressure off, as you suggested, doing the more posts in a day because it allows you to plan a little bit in advance.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, look, there's been some amazing tips in there, but I know that your ebook goes into a little bit more detail and some other things in there. So why don't you tell us where can they find it? I'm not even waiting till the end. Where can they find
it? So, I mean, it's a download. I'm going to share the link with you guys.
Yep.
And it's free. I mean, this is probably a 10-page ebook purely on Instagram. And it's more of a little snippet of information. I have a full ebook, which is complete sell on social media. So we talk about like everything that has to do with maximizing sell on social media, like campaign suggestions and all that back end detail of, you know, Facebook and algorithms. It's a lot more complex, but it's simplified and it's hairdressing terminology. It brings it back to salon. So I think, you know, if you were to read any social media book, it would be great. But this one is purely about salon social media. So,
and I think that's really important.
I'll share the links to both of those.
Yeah. Okay. And well, what I'll do is I'll put them in this podcast. So you don't have to, if you're listening now, you don't have to write it down. But where this podcast is housed on www.salonownerscollective.com, you can link straight to it from there. But it'll be on your website also, Hayley, and on your Instagram or Facebook?
Yes. Yeah. So if you go into the Instagram bio, you can get straight access to our larger ebook, and then the current one, we'll put all the links up on social for you.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay. So there's a free download, plus there is the ebook, which is how much?
It's more
is
like
that?
A Bible.
It is.
So 17. Yes.
I've seen the Bible. I've seen the Bible. There's a lot in there for...
There's a lot of blood, sweat and tears in there. You know all about that.
Yeah, and for a ridiculously cheap price. So good for you. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, look, as we lead towards wrap up, what I would love for you to share is a quote or a mantra going, you're a business owner like we all are. What keeps you going? Well, what stops you from going insane? What's your quote or mantra that you live by?
Look, I'm probably going to execute this quite poorly, but it's something to the effect of nothing worth having comes easy. So, like, the harder something is to get and to achieve, the more rewarding and, I guess, it's worth having. And it's so true. Like, nothing just falls in your lap. Like, I don't believe that anyone is an overnight success, really.
Yeah.
It really does take time. And I think, you know, 7 years in, I'm like, I can finally see that. I've got enough time to look back and go, okay, it actually takes that long to see results and to build a business and to build relationships. So, and on that note, can I just like do something really shameless? I just need to give this massive shout out to my team. They're so loyal and they've been with me for so long, and they don't get the credit of the brand that I want them to get, because I feel like, you know, I'm the admin guru at the best of times, and I get to take credit for their amazing ideas because everyone thinks that it's just me, and it's not. So just a massive shout out to Sienna, Vanessa, Caitlin, Sharon, Rena, Harlem. I've missed someone. Oh, Dion. Sorry, Dion. Yeah, you're all incredible. Thank you.
Good for you. And they are. They are. Good for you. Yeah. It's great. I'm sure there's some quote around teams there somewhere that we can put in.
Yeah. What is it? Teamwork makes the dream work.
Yeah, I like it. There you go. I knew there'd be one.
Yeah.
All right. What book or webinar or podcast or where do you get your input from? What can you suggest for our solo owners to
I found probably two or three incredible podcasts from Sophia Amoruso on Girl Boss Radio. Okay. And Girl Boss Radio is her podcast about, you know, female entrepreneurs. And she interviews a couple of different people. One is Tracy Cunningham, who's from like an LA-based colorist. And it's all about her business and how she grew her brand. And I love that it comes back to hairdressing. She's like, I fly to Paris once every 3 to 4 weeks to do a tint for a client. Like, you go, that is crazy. Who has that job? Really great insight. And then the other person that she interviews in this series of podcasts, and I don't recall her name, but she's the owner of Dry Bar in America, who started as like a mobile blow drying guru, just popped around houses across LA. She now has 70 stores across America.
Wow.
Yeah. So like grassroots entrepreneur, what I learned, I don't know that I necessarily learned anything I can put into my business, but I felt pretty inspired to listen to those women and think, you know, like you start in hairdressing, not wanting to be a CEO or, you know, a particularly famous or wealthy for what you do. You just do it because you love it. But these women have kind of gone above and beyond. And also love like some really cute little stories about, you know, what happens in LA hair salons, about like the kids that come in, you know, the 7-year-olds that have scalp bleaches because they're all working in Hollywood as actors and actresses, and, you know, the celebrity clientele. Great stories. I love them.
Great. Okay. So we want to track down Sophia from Girl Boss Radio. I'll put the link in the show notes so it's easy to track down, and we'll see if we can find those episodes. Yeah. Even would be good.
She's I've actually got an issue of The Collective in front of me, which has just come out a couple of days ago. Sophia Amoruso is on the cover, and she's one of the most incredible female entrepreneurs ever. You know, the first ever, I guess, Gen Y entrepreneur millionaire that's a female. We've got she's the girl's answer to Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. All right. I must listen in that case.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, thank you so much for sharing your powers of knowledge with salon owners around the world. I really, really appreciate it. So can you remind us where people can find you? What's your www and your socials so we can reach out to you?
Okay. So our website is sixunderground.net.au, and my social handles are at sixundergroundmedia.
Fantastic. So
that's both Facebook and Instagram.
Very good. And if you need any help with your social media, a little more than Hayley's freebie or the ebook, then get a hold of her. And if you just want to pass that job off to somebody else who knows what they're doing, then give Hayley a shout out.
That would be good. You know what? I had an inquiry this week. It was interesting. And like, not everyone necessarily has the budget to outsource their social media. And I kind of come up with this solution to that, where we can create some tiles for you, like maybe a series of 10 to 20 unique images that you can just distribute across your social platforms whenever you want. So that's another like good little hack that we can assist you with if you don't necessarily have the inclination to have someone on it as a designated resource.
You actually do that for quite a few people, don't you?
Yeah. I was up to like 1 o'clock working on Fox and the Hair Tiles last night, but I love it. So much fun. That's the best part of my job.
Yeah, I know that's the best part of the business that you love to work on. So
it is.
Even if it's till 1 a.m. All right, look, thank you so much for joining us today. Reach out to see Hayley.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thanks, Hayley. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective Podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa, and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.